Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Christine DiDomenico. Welcome to For the Love of Learning. I'm here with my co-host, Simone Padour. Hi, Simone.
Hello. Hello, hello.
And today our topic is healing yourself of financial abuse, which is interesting that this topic came up because I was on doing a call with Zipporah Hildebrandt last week about money on creating more in New England, and this was a question that came up. So I'm very interested to hear what our wonderful guest, Julia Sotis, has to say about that. Julia is an Access Consciousness facilitator. She's also a facilitator of the Right Riches for You program, which is a program that's part of Access Consciousness. And Julia holds a degree in sociology from the University of Winnipeg, Canada. And right now she lives in Bluffton, South Carolina with her husband, who is also an Access Consciousness facilitator, Dr. Anthony Mattis, and her three beautiful stepchildren. So welcome, Julia. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Christine. I'm so happy to be here. I had so much fun with you ladies last time I was on, so I'm really looking forward to today.
Great. So what is this? You want to start with that? Like, what is financial abuse?
Yeah, that's a good question. In Access, we have a really different definition of abuse in general. Like, I'll talk about abuse, and then we'll talk about financial abuse. But in Access, I mean, we are these infinite beings, and this reality doesn't exactly provide a nurturing, kind, warm space for us as infinite beings, to put it lightly. And so abuse really is, there's physical abuse, there's mental abuse, but there's also things like spiritual abuse or financial abuse, which are more subtle forms of abuse. But really, as an infinite being, having to function only within this reality is an abuse to your being. So we'll talk about the specifics of financial abuse, but financial abuse is where you are looking to do something you don't like, to hurt yourself, to not actually use your specific talents, gifts, and capacities to make money. It's where you are in the 9-to-5, if you hate that, and just doing what you have to do to get by rather than actually thriving. And Gary Douglas always says, like, for an infinite being, survival is a total lie. And so if you're forcing yourself to try to survive rather than actually putting your attention to thriving, that's a form of financial abuse. So there's a lot of different definitions and a lot of different examples I have that we'll go through. Not like domestic violence. It's not, I think equally as damaging, but it's far, far more subtle. And it's a little controversial too. I mean, one could say that, like, that's not really abuse, and you're making abuse victims, you're downplaying what happens to them, but it is abusive because it makes you ineffective in creation, which is, to me, one of the greatest abuses there is. So
I have a few questions, Julia. One of them is because I know we do this a lot in Access, and if people have been to an Access class about that thing of this reality, and I know a lot of people go, well, this is a reality. Like, what else other reality is there? So can you talk a little bit about that for people that may be totally new to this?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's a really far up concept if you're totally new. If you're totally new, maybe pause this and go to YouTube and type in Access Consciousness. it's like when I was young, when I was a little girl, I always was very sensitive to things and was very sensitive to different energies. I was always really aware when somebody was angry in the room or trying to cover something up or lying or, you know, hurting themselves. And it's like we have this level of awareness that we aren't about or taught how to use. And it's like there are spaces that we are aware of that don't exist, that aren't talked about here on planet Earth. And well, they are talked about in only with a few certain people in a few certain circles, but it's like this reality has a very specific set of rules and guidelines. You know, you don't want to get too happy. If you're wealthy, you're greedy. You know, it's like there's all these different rules, and going beyond those rules, like everybody says, just be yourself and be weird and follow your own path. Well, it's like that works to a point, but if you don't actually have another world to create in, then that's not going to work. So it's actually about like these other energies and these other possibilities that we have available. It's, you know, it's very, very advanced, but we don't have to go too far into that, but it's like there is energies that only we are capable of that if we actually start tapping into that and doing exercises to become more aware of that, that's what's beyond this reality. And that's a huge conversation for another day. But
yes, we might have to have you on again.
Yeah. Happy to. But it's like I want to talk today about healing the financial abuse of this reality, but it's a great question. It's like, what is beyond this reality? Like a whole whack of things and a whole plethora of possibility that doesn't exist on this planet.
Well, I wonder if there's like a quantum leap here. Like when I look at this, when I first started doing access, and there was areas where when I would work in them, when I would be making money, it was ease and it was fun and I didn't even think about money. And then there was other areas where it was like beating my head against the wall. So I wonder, yeah, I'm just sort of jumping that for people. Those places where things are easy for you, that's your reality. That's
perfect.
Where you can create
That's a little bit of a more subtle definition. I like that much better for our purposes. That's cool.
So,
yeah,
Julia, you mentioned...
go ahead.
You mentioned how when you talked about being a victim of financial abuse and how some people would say that by talking about this, you're about finances being somehow an abuse, that we're making people victims, and we're not. I'm aware of that. So what is the purpose of looking at this as financial abuse?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, first of all, it's acknowledging what is truly going on. Like, one of the definitions of financial abuse is also, like, when you're going out and you have a parent or a grandparent or some family member's voice in your head about, you know, you shouldn't buy that, that's too expensive, that's wrong. And, like, you may be 45 years old and haven't lived with your parents, but you have that voice in your head. That's another form of financial abuse because it's this reference point that has nothing to do with what you can create. And everything in your life should be about what you can create. And almost nothing that we look at in our life is about what we can create. It's normally about, you know, what should we do for a living? What's actually going to create money? It's not about like what brings me joy in the world and just knowing that creation will bring you the money that you need. It's like, what do I have to do to make money? It's never, what can I create here in the world? Money always comes first, and that's an abuse.
Well, it's funny. It's making me think of my brother as you're talking about. He's always loved horses and trained horses, but he always felt like he had to have another job because there was that point of view out there that you can't make money training horses. Right. And then he got to a point in his life, he actually sliced off the top of his finger. He was working in a sawmill. And he I think that and a few other things going on in his life, he realized that he had to do something different. And it was such an inspiration to watch him step away from all those have to do what he loved full time.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed at the money that just flows into his life with ease. It's just,
wow,
yeah.
That is so neat. That's
yeah.
a perfect example.
And he's never taken an access class, but he seems to, the more access I do, the more he seems to thrive, which is hilarious.
That bugger.
I know.
That's really cool. Yeah, so it's like, you know, for me, I've been really lucky. Like, my parents didn't do a lot of financial abuse to me. And one really cool thing is that both of my parents were entrepreneurs. Like, my dad was a farmer, and my mom had this costume shop, and it's in the loft of our barn. And so the top of this costume, or of this barn, is filled with, like, 3,500 costumes, most of which she sewed herself. And, like,
wow.
I remember one day I came home from school, and my dad was dressed up in can you guys hear me?
You're
you
breaking up a
little
bit.
Out.
Okay, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. But yeah, I came home from school one day, and my dad was dressed up in, like, a princess costume because my mom had to make, like, a princess costume for a transvestite, so she was, like, trying it on a man. It was really neat, like, because my parents showed me this entrepreneurial spirit and this willingness to be weird. And so that made it really easy for me out of the gate to be able to choose access consciousness as a full-time career and as strongly as I have. And, you know, to be able to be facilitating large classes right out of the gate. But not everybody gets that, you know, like, so many people. And I mean, I have partial things that are financial abuse, like, you know, that, like, my parents being farmers, it's like, you don't know how much money you're going to make in the next year. And so you have to
yeah.
save everything that you have for fear that, you know, next year, sometimes my dad would pay to have to put a crop in. He would put in a crop, so everything, fertilize it, you know, spray it, do everything. And then he would end up in debt at the end of the year because the crop didn't turn out well. And he put, you know, maybe $400,000 into the crop and maybe only came out with $300,000 or something like that. And so it's like,
yeah.
so there was this really, really tight grip on money and this fear that, you know, they didn't have control over the elements, they didn't have control over the weather, and that they could be ruined. So that was always something that I had in my head. And it's really interesting how, like, on a farm, you create in seasons, and then you don't really do anything all winter, unless you have cattle, but we didn't have cattle. So my dad would farm, and then for, you know, a large portion of the year, he would sit in the house, and he would read. He was very, very well educated, very smart with stocks and bonds and finances and, you know, subscribed to 6 different newspapers. But it was like, so for me, it's been really difficult to break out of this, like, sort of sowing and harvesting and waiting and sowing and harvesting and waiting, you know, with my access classes. It's like, I'll create something and then it's like, I'll let a month go by without creating anything because it's like, that's the pattern that I've put myself into. So it's really
mm-hmm.
kind of interesting how that has kind of actualized in my life.
Hmm.
So, yeah. But
so can you,
you know, that's
can
not,
you share, can you share some tools for people that, and things that you're using to get out of that pattern?
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite clearings is what energy, space, and consciousness can my body and I be to have never enough money, but always too much to spend for all eternity with total ease? And everything that is times a gazillion, will you destroy and uncreate it all?
Yep.
Right and wrong,
yes.
Good and bad, all nine, on pox, shorts, boys, and beyond. And I ran that clearing. Oof. I mean, I had to run it for at least 2 weeks before it even started to loosen the concrete.
Wow.
Because that is a really, that's an area, I mean, the clearing is in itself something that's designed to bypass your logical mind. But the thing is, it's like we are so concrete in those areas. And, you know, Gary will say to run a clearing for a month, but it's oftentimes because we're so, it's like that area of our life is concrete. Recently, Gary told me to run the clearing. He said to me in a class, he's like, if you chose to create this, I can't remember what it was, he said, you'd have to give up the fucked up that you have decided is so valuable. And I was like, oh. And I kind of thought about it, and I kind of looked at it, and, oh, that's true, and then kind of walked away. And then a few weeks later, I phoned him on the phone, and I said, what? I said, you told me this thing about being fucked up, and he started laughing, and he's like, because you love being fucked up. You love it. And he was like exclaiming it. And so he gave me this clearing. If I wasn't fucked up, what would I be choosing here? And so I've been running that. I think last night was my fifth night running it. And it was the fifth, on the fifth night, it's just starting to loosen up. It took 5 nights of running that clearing for, you know, 8 hours or 10 hours, however long I was sleeping. It took 5 nights of running that before it even started to loosen up a little bit. And now, like, there's a little crack of something moving this morning on that clearing. So it's like sometimes it can take a little bit of time. And if you, you know, just to tap into to when stuff is moving, and it takes some time to actually get things flowing. So with the never enough money but always too much to spend, it could for some of you out there, it could take you a good – it could take you a good 6 weeks of running that clearing before the concrete starts to rock a little bit and start to loosen up, because
yeah.
It's not an easy area of our lives. Money is not easy, but it really, really can be if you're educated properly with the tools of access.
I noticed we have a caller on the line.
Yes. Area code 646. Can you hear us? Hello? Can't hear you.
Hello?
If you're there, we go.
I have put myself on mute. Hi, it's Hannah.
Okay.
Hello,
Hannah. I know Hannah.
How are you?
How are you?
Hi,
do you have a question?
Hello. No, I was just listening, actually, if you guys want to do a clearing on me. You know, maybe I do have a question. I feel that I have some sort of, like, a ceiling on my income that I've not been able to clear. So maybe you guys can give me some insight to that.
Well, how many feelings are you using to avoid the money you could be choosing?
Woo-wee. Wow.
And everything that brings up, times a gazillion, will you destroy and uncreate it all?
Right, wrong, good, bad, omen, purple, shorts, boys, and beyond. Wow.
Good, bad, omen, purple, shorts, yeah.
And I don't
welcome.
Think you're the only one on that one.
Wow, yeah, I'm a touchy-feely kind of person, and I was like, there's something there. I don't know. I can feel it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, and it's like that. Well, I would run that clearing on a loop for at least 4 weeks for
I was going to say for a year.
Yeah, a year would actually be probably the most generative. I just didn't want to overwhelm you. Yeah. So it's like we have so many feelings about money, and we have done financial abuse, but we also do this really pathetic victimhood towards money as though it's the reason that we can't create our lives. Just like I was saying that I like to be fucked up, and I had no idea. And it's like just having this bedrock crumble underneath me is changing so much. But it's like with money, most of us hate money, like really, really, really hate money. And you can't even begin to create money in large ways until you come to terms with the choice you have made to hate money. There may be a few people who don't, but I would say pretty much anybody I've ever come across who isn't having the money that they'd like to have hates money. Well,
oh, it's interesting. It's interesting that you say that, because I thought that was my issue and for a while, and I was clearing that about the hatred and loving money. And then I realized for me, it was not even about hating money. It was that ever since I was little, like whatever need I had, it was taken. I come from a very overprotective Mexican family. And
right.
I grew up with seeing the man bring the money to the house. So it was my dad who brought the money, and I was whatever I needed. I would just say, I need this, and I would get the money. And then I would just spend it. And my brother would always be saving, and I would always be I would always just spend it. And if I needed 10, I would spend 10. And if I needed 20, I would spend 20. So I never got into a habit of saving. But everything that I needed was taken care of, so I never even thought about money. So money was never a problem, or I didn't hate it. There was nothing attached to it until I got divorced, and then I had no money, and then I went into fear, and absolute, you know, it was just fear.
So did you choose to get divorced so that you could begin to enjoy the creation of money, like your way of forcing yourself into creating money?
Oh God, I don't think so. But there's a lot of energy there.
I think
it's solid. It's a solid block of energy there. Wow, I'm like, oh God, really? Why would I do that to myself? I was happy.
Well, it's like, are you capable of creating money in a way that's greater than anything you've acknowledged?
Oh, yes. Right on. Yeah.
So were you great at creating money through the men in your life?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, but I was great at creating money on my own. I used to do commercials when I was little. I just never saw the money. And when I got paid, the money went to my mom, and then she took care of it. I never even saw it. But I've always generated money. And then when I graduated, before I got married, I was working, and I generated all the money that I needed and more.
There was a very specific energy when you said, you know, my dad always gave me the money, and I was poor after I got a divorce. It wasn't
totally
the energy of I create money for me. It was the energy of men create money for me.
Yes.
So
totally. I feel like I went from my dad to my husband.
Right, right. So there wasn't this energy of I created money as an actor. I created money these ways. So it's like, have you acknowledged that you're the creative source in your life, or have you had the point of view that the men in your life have been the creative source?
Yep.
Okay. So everywhere you have not acknowledged you as a creative source of money, will you destroy and uncreate it all?
Absolutely.
Times a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, all nine pop punk shorts, boys and beyond. So it's like you have put yourself into a fabulous position where you have to show yourself, you have to acknowledge you as the creative source of money, because now there's no man to give you the money, so you can't keep ignoring yourself.
Totally. This is amazing this call, because I've been on an absolute path for the last 2 weeks of I made a promise to myself that I would show up for myself, because I always show up for everybody else, but I never show up for myself.
Right. exactly.
So, Julia, what you're saying is that even though the men were physically providing the money, you're asking Hana to acknowledge that she was the energetic creator of that, correct?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what? My ex-husband, now it's in ruin. Because, you know, and I just...
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And now he has to give me all this. He hates me for it.
Yeah. So but to clarify what you were saying, Christine, for other people listening in, it's like oftentimes we're the creative source of money, and it's a financial abuse of us when we have the point of view that we are the weak, you know, children or you know, the dependents is the word. When we have the point of view that we're the dependent, then that's a financial abuse onto ourselves because it completely excludes where we are creating. We are the generative and creative source.
Yeah, it's amazing. Wow, so much energy has lifted. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you're going to commit to your life and create what you know is possible for you, the world, the realities, the money, you know, the communion with the earth and the world that you know is possible, you're going to have to start looking at what you are and acknowledging that and not going into feelings.
Yes. Yes, because an interesting thing that I noticed is like I got a hold of my finances, right? And I've been improving every year, but then I realized that ever since I got divorced, I can only get to a certain amount, and then I don't go over that. And every year, it's like it goes a little bit lower, a little bit, but never higher. You know, it's just it might be a little lower or it goes back up to that level. And
I'm
done with that.
So how many people? So there's what? 7.5 billion people on the planet right now in bodies. How many of those people have that pattern going on of the 7.5 billion?
Wow.
More than 4 billion or less than 4 billion?
Oh, much more.
More than 6 billion, less than 6 billion?
More. I feel like over 7 billion.
Okay, so how many of those 7 billion or more people are you trying to heal financially?
Wow.
So would you now make the choice to disattach from them and allow them to die in their spiral of poverty if that's what they are choosing for themselves?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah. You might want to keep playing with that one because I don't get that it's a yes right now, but it can be if you keep making the choice to live for you and allow other people to have their choice. Because when you're healing them, you are being the superior one and you're not allowing them to have their choice.
Right.
It seems like a kindness, but it's not actually a kindness because it's killing you.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Now I'm ready. I feel the energy shift.
All right.
When you said it's not a kindness, it just clicked. It's like, yep, okay, I'm trying to do the kindness thing.
Right. So everywhere you misidentified and misapplied kindness with superiority, will you destroy and uncreate at all times of Godzilla?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, all men, pop, pop, shorts, boys, and beyonds. Cool. How does it get better?
How does it get any better? Wow. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Calling in, Hana.
Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool.
Oof.
Sorry.
Wow. Amazing.
I don't do intro very well. Sorry.
Something there about that kindness and superiority. So when you, like for me, I'd like to have more money to, say, help my kids, or, you know, just be able to, you know, say, I want to do this for them, you know, take them on a vacation, or even, you know, help them with the payment of something if they need it. And I know Gary does that with his kids. He gives them money. He helps them out. So what's the difference there in those two, in the superiority and the kindness of it?
Well, that's a really good question. I think when you're doing it from superiority, you're doing it unconsciously. I mean, most of the time. So, like, if you are going, okay, I would actually like to give this to this person, and you're doing it consciously, then, and the person is willing to receive the gift, then that's not from a place of superiority. That's from a place of a generative sense of fun and possibility. But what we do is we attach tentacles onto billions of people and entities, and we decide that we have to be their life support system. And when you are somebody else's life support system, then you are not creating, because they're not asking you to be their life support system. They are actually usually asking to die, but we are so altruistic and so sympathetic and so empathetic that we're like, no, I'll save you. And we attach to just, I don't know, in hundreds, millions, billions of cases, trillions even, of people. And we go, I'll save you. And we attach to them. And then we're this, like, little depleted vegetable trying to get through our lives, you know, tired and poor. So anywhere any of you guys have done that, will you just... How's that for a picture? Will you destroy and I created all times a godzillion?
Yeah, please.
Right, rogue and that all night pod park shorts, boys and beyond.
Tired vegetable just ain't the right look for me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a little soggy carrot. Yeah, so it's like you have to, there's just so many energetic choices that you have to make if you're going to have the money that you want to have. And I think one of the main things is you can't actually, as a humanoid, you don't care about money at all, like at all. There is no sense of money. It's like Hannah was talking about, like, it was just there for her and she spent it and it wasn't even a thing. And that's the way that we are naturally as humanoids. So what we have to do is we have to have something that's worth having money for. It's like I created this one class and it created $42,000 for me, which was like really amazing. That was more than any class I'd ever done. But it was like, because I had made the choice, I wanted to buy this big house, and I made the choice that I wanted a 20% down payment, and I made the choice that I, you know, wanted to go to all these different access classes that were going to be about, you know, $25,000 worth within 2 months. And it's like, I was willing to go to those classes, put it on a credit card, go into debt, buy the house. I looked at it, I'm like, well, where's that $50,000 going to come from? And I'm like, okay, well, and it was like this sense of dread, but I kept going with it. And then it's like, you know, I'm always asking for miracles to show up all the time, every day. You know, universe, can you show me a miracle? And sometimes these big spaces open up that are just like the perfect sweetness for a big miracle to come through if you keep asking. And so it's like, as a humanoid, you have to have something that's worth creating money for. It's like, you know, I wanted to have Yves Saint Laurent shoes and, you know, $1,000 purses and all these things. And it was like, until I actually looked at, okay, I'd actually like to buy this house. That's going to create for more than just me. It's going to create for my whole family. it's like the money for the $1,000 purses and the Yves Saint Laurent shoes came along with all of that. But that alone wasn't enough for me. It really didn't change the way I go about my day or how I create in the world. But moving into a new house and showing these three kids that they can have this elegance and this big house, that actually was something that was worthwhile for me. So most people have no clue what they would like to create beyond their day-to-day lives. And so from there, it's pretty much impossible to increase your income as a humanoid.
I love
wow.
that. Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen to this call over again.
I was thinking the same thing. My gosh. Oh, my gosh. Really? Wow. So we do have another caller. I believe it's someone from New Jersey, a 201 number.
Hello.
Oh, they're gone. I guess they didn't want to ask a question.
Oh, they got to. Yeah, they had to leave.
Yeah. I think some people call in just to listen also. So anyway. But what you were just saying is I see how in my extended family, how what you said about you have to have something worth creating money for to actually create money. So if you don't even have in your reality a point of view that you would like more or can even possibly have more, then you're not going to create more.
No, you're not. And like my stepson, Vincent, he's like probably the smartest person I know. He's well smarter than me. And well, probably well smarter than Gary, well smarter than anybody I know. And he says to me, we're walking down the street, and we all just always play this game, like, would you do this for $10,000? Would you do this for $1,000,000? Would you eat this worm for this much money? We always play that game. And so there was like, we're in Budapest this summer, and we're walking down the alleys at night in Budapest. And he's like, Anthony, my husband, is like, would you sleep in that abandoned warehouse for $10,000? And Vincent's like, I'm like, no, I don't think so. And Vincent's like, well, if you look at it this way, it's like, we all have this amount of money that we usually all default to. And it's like, even if we get way more, somehow we still default back to the same amount that we had before. So he's like, I wouldn't do any of this stuff for any money because I would probably just default back to where I was functioning from before anyway. I was like, Jesus Christ, who thinks that way? I'm 14 years old. But it's like, it's so true. We all have this default, and it can be broken, but it's not. You have to actually make a choice and then stand behind that choice, ready to fail, you know, if you're actually going to change these things. They are pretty deeply sewn into who we've decided we are. And there does have to be a willingness to, you know, lose your identity and lose your limitations along with it and continuously jump off the cliff. Like, you know, I jump off the cliff, like, every day, you know, like my life, if people looked at, if a normal person were to look at my life, I mean, it would terrify them. They would run away screaming. They couldn't even understand like one choice, let alone like how this has to become your constant state of living in the world. It, you know, it's just totally not for the weak at heart. And you have to be really committed to changing this stuff if you're going to actually create the miracles that are required to change it.
It's funny. I have to go in a few minutes, but I just had to say this thing because it pops into my head. When I was in acting, I was doing opera, and my biggest fear, if you will, was losing myself. I didn't ever want to fully commit to a role, because I was worried that I wouldn't know who I was anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this crazy singing teacher who was a total dictator. And he came in just sort of for a brief moment to the university for a week or so. And I wasn't committing to this role. And he told me that I had to come up and I had to hug him. And I was like, I do not want to hug this crazy person. So he came over to me and he's like, hug me. And I was like, no. And so I sort of weakly hugged him because I didn't want to do this. And then he grabbed me and he gave me this big bear hug. And he's like, that is a hug. And I was just so traumatized by this whole thing. And at that point, it was the greatest gift because it made me realize that all of this projection, all of this stuff I had put on who I was supposed to be or who I was really didn't matter at all. And from that point on, I could actually choose to be anyone at any time.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. That's so the power that we have to be willing to be people who actually change their financial situation, like using these tools, that's exactly what you have to be willing to be. It's like no one and everything all at the same time. Yeah. So, and then the other thing is, it's like the willingness to constantly be jumping off cliffs. But the other thing is the willingness to be vilified when you for having lots of money. And you know, one of the things that I, would put under the umbrella of financial abuse is you know, the need and the pressure to be normal and to be like everybody else, because you have to be somewhat outrageous to create huge amounts of money. And it's like Shannon O'Hara, I was listening to a call that she did, and she said, if I was normal and I was always trying to act normal and pretend I was normal, how many of you would be here? And it was like probably, 100 people in the class or so. Everybody's like, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. And so it's like, it's also that willingness to not have the desire or the pull to be like other people. You have to be as outrageous as you are if anybody's going to listen to you. So,
I love that. That's great.
Everywhere that you are still somewhere in your world seeking normal or fucked up, will you destroy and uncreate it all times a godzillion?
Yeah.
Right and wrong, good and bad, all nine pod park shorts, blade and beyond. Yeah. So, and you know, what have you decided you'd like to create in the world that has nothing to do with you? And it's like, if you've decided you want to do something with money, but the money isn't being created, then either you're not committed to actually choosing it, you've just told yourself you would choose it, but you're not actually, when you, it's time to put your money where your mouth is, you wouldn't be willing to spend the money on it. It's either that, a lack of commitment, or it's just not something that you actually care about. It's somebody else's point of view that you've bought as yours, even a conscious point of view. So you have to look at it and you have to go, okay, so if the money's not coming into my life, what do I actually desire to have in my life that is beyond what I've looked at before? And this might take you months of asking to actually get the awareness of, you know, for me, it's like so often I'm, you know, like I was saying with my farmer mentality, it's like I'll create something huge and then I'll sort of slow down for a little bit. And, you know, the train left the station, but it's like, damn it. But it's like, I'll decide that I want to create this thing and I'll create it. And it's like, it's a long time until the next thing. But if you're not willing to trust and give yourself the space until something else, you know, becomes possible, then you'll kill everything. And the more that you're willing to do that and trust and keep moving forward, it's like then there is no space between it. You just get the strength and the forward movement of being able to constantly create and never, ever stop.
And the creation is not necessarily a doing. So you might have a period of time where
you're not doing stuff online to create a class, yet there's still the energy of creation is what you're talking about going on. It's not like a stop of creation, the energy of creation. Am I correct in paraphrasing that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, we look at creation as rather than seeing that there's always things moving, and if you're committed to your life, then you're always creating something.
And I'm seeing how much the, you know, I know you do a lot with energy poles, doing classes with that, and I see how amazing they are. I experience how amazing they are when I choose to do the energy poles, and how someone will just call me about something that I was pulling energy on, somebody out of the blue that I haven't heard from in a long time. So can you talk about those energy poles a little bit and in relation to creation?
Yeah, well, Gary always, I mean, in my first private session with him, I basically the only thing I remember from it is him saying, you need to pull energy, you need to do an energy pull, pull energy every single day for 3 months. And I was like, okay. And so I did it every single day for 3 months. And if you want to know what the, how the energy pull actually looks, you can go to my website, juliasotis.com, or my Facebook page. There's a free energy pull on there, or you can purchase a series. They're pretty inexpensive. And so it's like I would pull energy every day, and all these amazing things started being created. Like, you know, I was 20 years old living in Winnipeg in university, and I'm like, how am I going to create this access business? Who's going to listen to me? Like, what am I even doing here? And there was no other access facilitators in Manitoba at the time. I was the only one. And I kept doing these energy pulls, and people would phone me. People would call me. I'd have, like, lots of people in my bars classes. And I was making, I think I made, like, at 20 years old, my first year, I made, like, $60,000. And it was literally just from the energy pull. Like, the choice to pull and to keep choosing, if you do that every day, you it's foolproof. You can't actually do that and it not work. It's almost, it's an energetic thing, but it's so powerful that it's like physical to me. Like, I don't see it as energy. I don't see it as outside of me or something that's, you know, just woo woo energy. It's like, it's so strong. It's so powerful. It is, you know, applied energetics, and it works 100% of the time. It's like, if you push a button to turn on the dishwasher will turn on. It's the exact same thing. It is so powerful. And, you know, as I've done the energy pulls again, because, you know, that was 5-6 years ago. And as I've started doing them again, it's like, I mean, from what I could create at that time to what I can create now with the energy pulls has multiplied. And so it's really a muscle that we all have to build. But it's like, I don't understand even how people could create an access business without doing that constantly. I mean, Gary says, you know, marketing and class creation is not, or he said class creation and creation is not created through marketing. It's created through energy pulls. And so the marketing is just sort of a doorway, but it's actually the pull that brings people in.
Yeah, and what is coming up about this too is, and is related to financial abuse, is that where we abuse ourselves in that unwillingness to receive. So what I've found with the energy pulls has been really powerful is to be aware of the barriers that I have up as I'm doing those energy pulls and to push them down to allow myself to receive more.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like, this is just, it's such a fast way to get you from a place of lack to a place of always choosing to bring something towards you every single day. And to me, it's like the first step.
Cool.
So
what else would you like to talk about related to this topic? We have about 10 minutes left, and I would like to also leave a few minutes at the end for you to talk about the things that you have coming up as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the other things that you can do, so healing financial abuse, I mean, it's a big topic, but I'll leave you guys with a couple of tools that you can, you know, take home and start applying. But one of them is to run that clearing statement. And then the other is to run what energy, space, and consciousness can my body and I be to have never enough money but always too much to spend for all eternity with total ease. Oh, that's heavy. Right, wrong, good, bad, all bad, punk, shorts, boys, and beyond. And then you want to just start to become aware of functioning from somebody else's financial reality where you're going, okay, am I abusing my being by being somebody else's being? It's like you'll kill yourself before somebody else kills you. You'll stop yourself and you'll become somebody else so that they can't find out how different you are. So that is an abuse of the being. So you want to actually just start to ask the question, you know, what is my financial reality and where am I being somebody else here? And you'll notice when you're somebody else, because it's heavy, it's not fun, it's dark, there's the energy of demons. And it's like that energy when you look at your bank account and it's like your stomach just falls to the floor and you're like, how am I going to pay this? What am I going to do? I'm screwed. And that's when you're not being you with regards to your financial reality. And then, so that would be number two, is just becoming aware of when you're acting out somebody else's points of view about money or you're being less than you. And then the third thing I would say is to start asking the question for everything, what is my financial reality? And that is starting to open the door to you becoming aware of what you can create financially. Because it seems a little far-fetched at first, but when you actually to ask these questions, it develops you as the being, and it starts to pull things out of hiding that you've put into hiding so that you can be normal and real and not judged in this reality. And when you ask the question, you know, what is my financial reality? It starts to open the door to that coming out of you. One time, having a conversation with Gary Douglas, who's the founder of Access. I was referring to him before. And he said to me, there's a world inside of you I'm trying to get you to get out. And it's like we all have this world inside of us that we have to let out or else it will kill us. If you are not living, you are dying. And if you are not choosing to live, then it's like there's no possibility of you creating. So you want to ask also, what's the world inside of me that I have kept secret from everyone, including myself?
Oh,
and
boy.
Everything that is, times godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, all men, pod, box, shorts, blues, yeah. So assuming that somebody is going to abuse you if you let you out is another form of financial abuse. So what is the world inside of me that I have been keeping secret?
Oh, boy. So can we clear everything that brings up?
Yes, everything that brings up. We all destroy and uncreate it all. Right and wrong, good and bad, all nine, pot and pock, shorts, boys, and beyond.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. Thank you so much. And for those of you that may not have heard the clearing statement or would like more information about that, you can go to theclearingstatement.com. And you can find lots of information about all the tools Julia's talking about at accessconsciousness.com. So, Julia, we have about 5 minutes left. Would you please talk about how people can find more about you and about some of the programs that you have come up and just repeat where they can find the energy pull exercises as well? Anything else you want to tell us about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Well, I live in South Carolina on the coast, and so I facilitate classes here from time to time. And then a lot of what I facilitate is through what I call Zoom calls, which are face-to-face webinars and classes. So, you know, if you, I do a lot of different things. I do one-on-one private sessions. So, you know, we get on the phone and it's recorded and you can ask me questions about what is going on in your life and how to actually change things that are specific to you that are maybe something that couldn't be handled in a class. So I offer private sessions. And then I just did 6 months of energy pulls every single day, and they're split up month by month. So you can go onto my website and look at all the different pulls and see which one is kind of the strongest energy for you. The name of my website is juliasotis.com. So it's juliasotas.com. And I also did a radio show for 3 years, and all of the archives have been put into a podcast and SoundCloud, so you can find all of the archives of my 3 years of shows on there. And I also have something coming up called the Advanced How to Become Money Workbook, and that's a call that I put together with there's 7 facilitators of Access Consciousness on it. And each week a facilitator is going to facilitate on the Advanced How to Become Money Workbook. So I kind of like it because it's from 7 different perspectives and you get 7 different facilitators. And the facilitators are Susanna Mittermeier, Lale Hancock, Daria Hansen, Craig Lassell, myself, Dr. Dean here, and Gary Douglas. So that's the 7 weeks. So it's going to be a very, very powerful, powerful telecall. And I'm looking forward to seeing what each of the facilitators has as tools and possibilities of how we can change our financial situations. So we have that coming up as well. So,
wow, that's
yeah,
a powerhouse of facilitators.
Yeah. Yeah, I pulled together, you know, who's really, you know, who has changed their financial reality with the tools and, you know, wanting to get them to share it and just blast us with consciousness.
Awesome. And I just want to share that we have a Facebook comment saying, "This is blowing my mind. How does it get any better than that?"
Awesome.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Julia, for sharing all this information with us and joining us this week. We really are very grateful for all that you know and all you're willing to share with us.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me. I love coming on with you and Simone. It's a lot of fun. And we'll hopefully chat with you guys again soon.
Okay, great. And for our listeners, our next guest will be Mary Case. She'll be talking about X-Men, and that'll be in a few weeks. We've kind of changed to a flexible schedule, so I don't have an exact date for you at the moment. But thank you all for listening. Thank you, Hannah, for your question. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye, Julia.
Awesome.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Christine. Bye, everyone. Thank you.